95.7 The Game, live and local. Now, it's Michael Urban, Rick Tittle, and the Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Wes, I love that edit. It's... I am Rick Tittle. To my left, Michael Urban, and also the Guru. And
hi, Rick.
How you guys doing?
I'm having the best time.
It's pretty amazing. The game that we just saw, we just heard the post-game show, a couple of post-game shows, and we're going to be with you for another 3 hours here on 95.7 The Game.
Yes,
your home of Golden State Warriors basketball. We would love to have your participation. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. Very caller-friendly. Remember, get in the queue. We'll talk to you. It's all about y'all's and your calls at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, or the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. Hit us up at 95795, we have some basketball guests. Connor Letourneau at 5:30. That'll be a half hour from now. Of course, the Warriors beat writer for the Chronicle. Danny LaRue from Dunked On and Real GM Radio. He'll be with us at 6:30. And then Buki, that is it. Kalena Azubuki, former Warrior and Kentucky Wildcat. He'll join us at 7:30. And, of course, he's over at NBC Sports Bay Area. It's interesting, fellas.
Nothing easy!
We're all Warrior fans our whole lives, and so we go way back with this team. But today, the first quarter, it couldn't have gotten any worse. And I'll start with you, Mike. I didn't think it was over because there's just way too much firepower to think it was over. But I was a little bit surprised how badly the Warriors got punched in the face those first 12 minutes.
Well, given the narrative coming in, yeah, I think everybody was surprised. But if you're paying attention to the season series, you weren't all that surprised because we were just talking before the show. I know without even having to look back that in the season opener, they just came out and mauled the Warriors and just kind of destroyed KD's debut. And then in the last matchup of the regular season, the one where KD didn't even play, the Spurs came out, was it 21-3, mauled them at the start. Warriors came back and won that game. The game where the Warriors rested, you know, the controversial, you know, rest game where they rested all four of their big guys, the Spurs put it on them early on that one, and then they did it again today. So it was really, Rick, four consecutive games now. In all four matchups they've played the Spurs this year, the Spurs came out and mauled them in the first quarter.
And yet here I am still thinking the Warriors 8-0 in the playoffs, that they would get off to a better start. Mm-hmm. And I was wrong. Guru, I know for you, you're such a fan of the game. You didn't like the Kawhi Leonard injury when he stepped on Pachulia's foot. And we'll get to that later, whether we think that's dirty or not. And I think all of us don't think it is. Maybe Goo, you a little bit.
Why are we even acknowledging that as a storyline?
Well, because when Kawhi went out, everything changed.
Right, but watch the replay. I mean, it's not. Yeah, yeah, that's. I wish that was it. If you want to just talk about the impact of missing Kawhi, mm-hmm. then fine. That's a legit storyline.
Right.
But the Twitter overreaction knee-jerk that somehow Zaza meant to have Kawhi land on him, like you're supposed to know where he's going to land. You got to give the jump shooter space to land.
It's part of the game,
If you watch the replay, Guru, and you look at nothing but Zaza, then you will know this is ridiculous because he had nothing on his mind other than watching where the shot went, watching where the rebound went, and where my next move is. Shot went up, Zaza turned around, saw the Warriors got the ball and ran to go up court. It's a joke that people are trying to put this on Zaza. Zaza was a player of the game for my money. His third quarter, he did all the quiet little unsung dirty work, whatever cliche you want to assign to it. Zaza was doing that. When they weren't getting 50-50 balls, Zaza got one. When they weren't getting offensive rebounds or defensive rebounds for that matter, Zaza got
one.
Is
he your MVP?
When they needed to stop
today
in this game?
No. Please don't say yes.
In this game?
Yeah, in this game.
He's the unsung MVP, yeah,
okay,
for sure.
No, unsung and
for
MVP
sure.
are mm-hmm. different. Now, this is the first game of the playoffs, and I thought the Warriors were past this. Past coming out, fellas, just looking lethargic.
Yeah.
And that's what they did, and I told you, we watched it together. We bonded. But I said, fellas, 113-111, and Leonard went out early third quarter, and you still got to hold on and win. I just felt like this was a loss. It's not. It's
wow.
one of four that you got to get to. But moving forward, fellas, there are a lot of fires that this team needs to put out. And I thought they were going to come out and maul San Antonio. So to go to the regular season, Herbs, I hear you. You make astute points. It has nothing to do with what transpired today. And what transpired today was Klay Thompson was off and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, your two best players, showed up and bailed you out, and that's why Golden State is up 1-0.
How you could consider this a loss, Guru, is beyond me. Over the past 20 years under Greg Popovich, going into today, after building a 25-point lead, 316-0, that had never happened where they blew a 25-point lead. And think of everything that went wrong for the Warriors. Everything that went wrong. Klay Thompson, look, fine, you were without Kawhi Leonard for a quarter and a half. The Warriors were without whoever Klay Thompson was out there for four quarters.
But he was did still nothing. Out there. He was physically terrible. He was out there.
Bottom line, they played a poor game for the majority of the game, still came back from 25 down, still got the win, protected home court. They're 9-0 in the playoffs. Mike Brown, all the questions about, okay, he's never been in a tough spot with these Warriors. He's just keeping the seat warm. Okay, fine. He just led a team back in a playoff game from a 25-point deficit. He also led them back from a 17-point deficit earlier in the postseason. This is a win, Guru. This is a huge win.
Oh, it is. It's 1-0. I'm just telling you, when we sat down and watched that game together, being down 25 in the first half is something we did not think we were going to see. And I look at it through the lenses of the next series, which is the finals in the Cavs, which is a given, if right? I like that. But that was the narrative, Rick, coming in like the Warriors were going to just Mike Tyson the Spurs.
No, I didn't think that.
Well, I did, and I was shocked.
Either.
And Herbs, I can't believe you keep holding on to what transpired in the regular season, because today, had Leonard not went out, we don't know what we'd be talking about right now.
We'd be talking about a loss if Leonard didn't go out, I think. And I know what you're talking about, Guru, about the beginning of the game. The lethargy, we were talking about this too. That one transition where there were four straight offensive rebounds in the Spurs end, Pachulia and Durant stood there. It was like, is somebody else getting the rebound? And it's like, you got to wake up, you guys. Come on, block out someone. Now, the Pachulia thing, I'm more on Herb's side because I think it was his momentum. And we've all played hoop
just
in high school,
the play.
At pickup hoop. How many times have we come down on on somebody's instep and turned our ankle? It's part of the game. I can see why there was a foul because he continued on with that momentum. I didn't think it was anything dirty. The other thing is I put about 1 ounce of any kind of integrity into what's being shouted about on Twitter.
Yeah.
There are no cowards on Twitter, and it's usually...
It started with Skip Bayless, for God's sakes. That's why we should have just dismissed
well,
it
as soon
as it
came up. Well, if you're a professional, blowhards get paid a lot of money for doing exactly that. They do a good job at it. So, Guru, now that you said you kind of considered it a loss because they probably would have lost without Leonard, you're Greg Popovich, you still should not be a one-man team. You still had the Warriors on the ropes, and you
they
still...
They beat the Rockets by 39 on the road without Kawhi the entire game.
So,
Come on, Gu,
what does Popovich do at this point then? Just keep on riding it and just see how Kawhi is? Because they know, the Spurs, to me, have the confidence. They're not depressed right now.
See, I think the exact opposite. I think they came in obviously hoping to get one or two, and they would have rode back to the Lone Star State as happy, as giddy as all could be. And the fact that you were up 25 points and you didn't falter when Leonard went out, you had the lead, you had a chance to win the game. They had one possession to get one defensive rebound, and you might have sealed this game. You don't just bounce back from that. And now you're going into, fellas, game two, shorthanded, maybe with Kawhi. If he comes back, is he going to be Kawhi? I don't know. And you got a Golden State Warrior team that did not put in their best performance. Best believe this dub team is going to come out like bees to honey, and the Spurs are in trouble regardless of what their mindset is.
888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com. Text line 95795. Let's go out to the Alamo City. Mario in San Antonio, you're on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, Mario?
Hey, guys. First of all, congratulations on your win. And I am a big Nate Sturman. That's how far I go back. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Pachulia, there's nothing wrong. He's just a big awkward man, and that's no foul down here. We understand, okay? But you know, you guys got to get Klay Thompson involved, okay? But you know what, Klay Thompson?
They tried to get him
involved.
He was just really bad today, Mario. It's not like they were icing him out or anything. He wanted no part of it. I don't know if you noticed, at one point on a drive to the hoop in the third quarter, he had unimpeded lane, three guys on the Spurs standing around, which they rarely do, basically conceding a layup. But Clay was so off, he literally never even looked at the basket. He was 3 feet from the bucket, didn't look at the rim, and tried to kick it out for a three. That, to me, told me we can't count on Clay the rest of the game because he's not even looking for a shot. And when a guy who put up 37 and a quarter and 60 points in three quarters at various times in his career, when he's not even looking at the rim, when he's in the paint, you know he's done.
A positive for him. You know what he did? He was on top of Patty Mills. He took Patty Mills out of the game. That's what we saw down here. We had 20 guys, and we said, Klay Thompson is not hitting, but look, he's taking Patty Mills out of the game, out of his comfort zone.
All right. Yeah. Hey, Mario, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And it's funny because, you know, last year, if Klay was cold like this, I mean, today he had 6 points, 2 for 11.
You were done.
Yeah, you'd have to go to Barnes, and Barnes is not going to do that for you. This is the thing that we thought, hey, if somebody's cold, somebody's hurt.
Right.
Now you have KD. If you know Patty Mills, he's never been a scorer. It's funny because we're both St. Mary's alums, and when he was his sophomore year, I was a guest teacher out there because he was taking a broadcasting class. And after the class, I said, you're not declaring, are you? Because he could do everything but score. Fastest guy maybe in NCAA basketball. And he goes, no, I need another year. And then like a week later, he declared for the draft. He was almost not drafted. I think he was like the second to last pick of the second round to the Trailblazers. Do people still call them Trailblazers, by the way?
I think they're more than that. Yeah, Blazers, Jailblazers.
Can you say Knickerbockers?
Yes, you can. You just did.
Yeah. How about Super? Well, Supersonics don't exist.
Look, Patty Mills is an offensive player. I've already heard some criticism of his offensive game today, and you're right, Rick. That's not what they're looking for from Patty Mills. I mean, as an offensive player, he does a lot of nice things on the floor, which is why he's in the league. But offensively, all he really is a safety valve spot-up three guy. If you leave him wide open, he might hurt you. But if you're counting on him to create his shot in late shot game situations, it's not going to happen for him.
Let's go to the phone lines again. Joe is in Fremont. Joe, you're on 95.7 The Game.
One thing I haven't heard is Popovich protects his players all the time, but when he stepped on David Lee's ankle with they're still up by 21 or 23. He didn't pull them out at that point. I mean, if he does that, lets him rest, they can probably ride this thing out. But once he went down and hurt, knowing he's not coming back, those guys just lost it.
But it's kind of like talking to a pitcher that's on the ropes.
Right.
They're never going to tell the skipper, yeah, yank me. And he's like, are you all right? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. So you got to leave Leonard in. The kind of game he was having, he was tremendous.
I'm glad he brought up D. Lee, though, because if we're going to say that Zaza did something intentional as it relates to Kawhi Leonard, then why is no one pointing the finger at D. Lee? Because he basically did the same thing. His foot was in a bad place for Kawhi. Kawhi stepped on D. Lee's foot, strained it again when he landed on Zaza's foot. I mean, it's basketball. That kind of freaky stuff happens, and it's unfortunate that it happened to the Spurs when it did.
So, Guru, do you think like when Zaza went in, it wasn't so much a malicious thing, but it's just, you big dope, you have to give me space to land. Like,
watch the play, and you won't feel that way.
Right, but to you, it's like a basketball etiquette thing?
Yeah, it is. And there is a written rule for guys with the jump shot. Ray Allen, he was very particular about that, you know, getting that space. Mm-hmm. And Pachulia was headed the other way. Kawhi's already come out and said it wasn't a dirty play. Mm-hmm. And from my vantage point, it was not. But since we're going to focus on who the Spurs were without, we got to mention that the Iguodala played 10 minutes. The Warriors didn't have him. They had him on the court, Herbs. 10 minutes, you can't tell me that didn't help that didn't affect their second unit. And that's why the Warriors, I believe, didn't play up to the standards that I have. That wasn't their best A game. And believe you me, it's coming, and they need to ramp it up before Tuesday.
What do you think about the fact that, and by the way, Rick Tittle, Michael Urban, and the Guru with you, 95.7 The Game. What do you think about the fact that, and I noticed this like very starkly in the first half when LaMarcus Aldridge was just a beast, that when Iguodala was in the game, Aldridge would have him out on the arc. And I thought, man, you got your best rebounder, not on someone who's a super threat to score, but that's what Popovich had. And for whatever was going on, it was working. And that's the thing about Popovich. I'm sure Mike Brown probably thought the same thing. Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, and the last thing anybody really expected was for Pau Gasol and Aldridge to play big minutes together. They didn't play big minutes together, but they started. And that's something that a lot of Warrior opponents won't even have the audacity to try, to even trot it out. But it speaks to Pop's level of confidence in his guys. And, you know, after the game, Pop's post-game press conference was so sparsely populated. They showed it when we were in the green room. It was hilarious. There's like five people and two were asleep. But very important because Popovich never wants to, first off, he never wants to agree with anybody in the media's, you know, assertion of what happened to his team. But the first question, the guy basically suggested your team looked rattled. And I kind of braced for it like, ooh, you don't do that to Popovich. You're about to get roasted. And Popovich, it was so stark that I wrote it down. Popovich's response was rattled. It's a good observation. You're correct. We got a little rattled. And then he like faked like he was going to walk off and drop the mic type thing. But for Greg Popovich to admit his team got rattled, obviously he's sending a subtle message to his own locker room because he knows that's going to get back to those guys. But man, it's just everything that could have gone wrong, every 50-50 ball, every ball that just took a weird bounce, every bad shot that's either going to have a really long rebound or a really short rebound where even if you have good rebounding position and technique, it doesn't matter because it's just a weird rebound. All of those balls seem to go to the Spurs forever until very late in the fourth quarter. And, you know, the caller earlier wanted to, and I appreciate the loyalty, wanted to give Clay a little bit of credit for doing this and doing that and doing that. I disagree. I thought Clay was mostly bad. Sure, if you play that many minutes, you're going to do a couple of good things. You're in the NBA.
Sure.
But who fouled with 0.5 seconds left to give them a chance? It was Clay. It's just one of those games where they're going to have to throw – they're going to have to just say, you know what, we didn't have Clay. It's another positive because we're going to have the real Clay Thompson in the next game.
And this is why I don't like the hockey stat of plus-minus in the NBA because you look at Clay, he's a plus-5. So it is a team sport. What do you think about the plus minus that they took over from Hockey Guru a few years ago?
It's misleading because if you look at David Lee, he was plus 15. He played 16 minutes, scored no points, didn't have that big effect on the game. But if you go by that plus 15, you think he brought his hard hat. He didn't. And Klay Thompson, Herbs, that to me, that's hypocritical. Because you have a big three. He's part of the big three. He's earned that moniker. And for you to focus in on his shots and the shots that he missed and say he was a problem.
Dude, I'm focusing on his whole game. He was terrible today.
Okay, and it happens.
Right.
That's why you have Kevin Durant and you have Steph Curry.
No. What's your point? You're saying I'm wrong for saying Clay had a bad game.
No, you're coming out the closet basically saying, aha, this is the game.
Coming out the closet?
Yeah, basically, you're saying he didn't have a good game. You can't. I mean,
he had a terrible game,
and that's why they lost
from start to finish.
It wasn't awful. He played good defense.
He had. Let's look at the
tape.
Let's look at the tail of the tape. He played 38 minutes, which is second most on the team. He had 6 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, and two. And so, listen, 3 steals. Now, you're saying, listen, even a broken clock is right twice a day. If you're going to play 38 minutes, you're going to get 3 steals, even if you're
no good. He's a great, great basketball player. So he's going to do a couple of good things in a game. But he, by and large, if you ask Clay, he's going to say, this probably, given the stakes, one of my worst games ever.
I'm going to see, and Guru, tell me if I'm wrong. What if Guru is saying, even if he's bad, they still had to respect his ability to shoot, so he was still keeping other guys more open by the fact that you can't leave Clay alone?
I didn't see that in the game. I didn't see them paying Clay special attention. I saw them paying special attention. They were running Curry off the three-point line the whole time. They were being real physical with everybody early in the game. And I think that's one thing. I think a lot of people talk about the ability to get Curry off his game by being physical. I don't know that I buy into that. I think Curry knows that that's the game plan against him. He's mentally prepared for that. He knows how to combat it now. He's spent a couple past off seasons building up his upper body strength so he can, you know, break through some of those screens, the double triple teams. Clay is the guy to me that when things get pretty physical, that's not his comfort zone. I think Clay is more of a finesse player, even though he's a better body up deep defender. I think he's more of a finesse player than Steph is.
Let's take a listen to a fan at 888-957-9570. Kurt in Oakland, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to give Zaza a lot of credit for the screens that he set. And then when Durant and Curry or Durant or Green or one of them was running to the lane, he would wall off 2 to 3 people just to keep them down on the ground so they couldn't get up to contest the shots. Some of the shots didn't fall, but he at least gave them an opening to do it. As for the Kawhi injury, that was not his fault whatsoever. It's part of the game. how many jump shooters jump up and people have their feet right underneath their feet when they land on them? Zaza is 270 pounds. He's not going to be able to slow down as quickly as people want to give him credit for. And if he's going to foul you, he's not going to foul you like that. He's going to knock you over. That's how he's going to really foul you.
All right.
It wasn't his fault.
Mm-hmm.
Clean play. It was a good game all around. We were sloppy. We got the win. We needed a game like that. But if we play like that in San Antonio, they're going to blow us out of the water.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, guys, what's interesting, and I think you guys probably feel the same way, is that when we watch sports, and all three of us have seen thousands and thousands of games in so many different sports, I find myself, I still get surprised. I know how good Kawhi Leonard is. But in that first quarter, mm-hmm. when we have three big men in the paint, I say we as a Warrior fan, and he just out-jumps them all. The desire to have that ball is mine. And I was thinking, I've seen Kawhi play so many times, and yet he's better than I remember.
Yeah. It's true, and one of the you see how big that guy's hands are. I mean, when he gets into the paint, as long as he has control of the ball before he enters the paint, he's going to finish or get fouled because he is not going to give up the ball. His hands are so
damn
strong.
They call him the claw.
And it makes him like, you know, we talk about length and wingspan as opposed to actual height. And what is Kawhi's wingspan? So it's like 7 foot yeah. four or something crazy like
ridiculous.
That. And then you factor in the length and the strength in his hands. I mean, the guy, he's got guard skills. He's improved his offensive game every single year that he's been in the league. And now this season, Rick, is the first time that I've seen him. It almost seems like he knows now that he's one of the elite players in the game, and he's willing to take over because that's never been part of what the Spurs do. But out of necessity, I think Popovich, more than we've seen in any recent season, is willing to say, we got to go ISO, and we got to go ISO with Kawhi, and Kawhi's fine with it now.
By the way, from the Mercury News, they were reporting that Andre Iguodala is going to get an MRI on his left knee, and it's a possibility that he could miss Game two. We don't know the severity. He could be fine. Or this could be worse. Like I said, we'll keep our eye on it. Mercury News. Iggy is going to get an MRI on his left knee. So whether he's going to be playing Tuesday night, we will see. We'll ask Connor Letourneau. He covers the Warriors like a glove for the San Francisco Chronicle. And he is next. Tittle, Urban, Guru. 95.7 The Game.
It's Michael Urban, Rick Tittle, and the Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you and welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Got a little special Warriors post game.
After party. It's the after party. Woo, woo.
I'm Rick Tittle. He's Michael Urban. We got our main man, the Guru, with us. And we'll get back to your calls if you're on hold. We appreciate your patience. And we will get to you in the next segment. But right now, we're very happy to welcome a friend of the station. It is Connor Letourneau from the San Francisco Chronicle, covers the Warriors all season. And let's start off with the first news. We heard that Iguodala is going to be getting a MRI on the left knee. Is this precautionary? Do they think something is bad, or are you still in the dark on it?
Yeah, I think it's still TBD. I mean, I know it is just to see what's going on. Andre's had an issue off and on with that knee throughout the season, and he just kind of re-aggravated it tonight. He didn't seem overly concerned in post-game, but I guess we'll learn more tomorrow.
Hey, Connor, it's Michael. Thanks for your time, buddy. Iggy wasn't moving very well in the first half, and Brown acknowledged that in the post-game. He kind of suggested that it was just Brown's decision that he wasn't going to play in the second half. To your knowledge, was Iggy lobbying to get back into the game? Because I would imagine, you know, a veteran has a kind of cachet where if he goes to, especially the stand-in coach, hey, coach, I'm good, let me back out there, they'd probably be inclined to at least give him another go.
I never heard anything like that he was lobbying or really trying to get back in the game. I think he respects Mike Brown's opinion, and also he respects the trainer's opinions, and I know they have given it a look. So, you know, this is, like I said, this is something that he's kind of been dealing with off and on throughout the season, and he knows his body as well as anyone. This is a guy who's been in the league 13 years, so if he didn't necessarily feel the need to get back out there, then that might, mm-hmm. you know, say something. But we'll know more tomorrow.
Connor, it seemed to me that the Spurs controlled the pace of the game, and they did it for a mighty long time. Do you just chalk that up to rust, or was it something San Antonio was specifically doing to the Golden State Warriors?
You know, I don't chalk it up to rust, because you look at, you know, the series against the Jazz, and they came out with no problems in game one after an even longer hiatus. So I don't necessarily think that was the problem. This is a team that's used to, you know, been around the block quite a bit. They got a bunch of veteran guys. So I think it was more what San Antonio's strategy was. Their game plan was working really well. I think Popovich, you know, had executed a nice game plan against them, which was attack the paint, you know, frazzle them with those bigs and get hands on their shooters, which they did a really, really nice job of. I mean, they completely tore them apart inside the paint in that first quarter. So, and we're able to get in passing lanes and disrupt them, which we know that for San Antonio to push them in this series, they're going to need to get Golden State to pile up turnovers, which is something they were able to do early.
I know this is a little bit simplistic, Connor, but we know that when Kawhi went out, the Warriors went on that crazy one run, and the game completely transformed. We also know that Steve Kerr gave a really cool halftime talk that we all got to hear as well, and we'll talk about it a little more during the show. How much of it do you think was it the Warriors' comeback and victory being that Leonard was out, or that Kerr inspired them? Do you give that talk maybe 5% of? I mean, do you give it a little bit of credit?
I think most of it has to do with the fact that that Leonard left the game when he did. I mean, they were still struggling in the beginning of that third quarter. It wasn't like they turned a switch on right when they came out of halftime. They were still having a tough time. They're down 23 when Leonard left the game. So I think, you know, a lot of it goes back to just the emotional toll that losing your best player takes on a team. The Spurs were a completely different team. They couldn't get anything going offensively. Their interior defense completely dissolved, and they gave up that 18-0 run right away.
Hey, Connor, as off as Clay seemed to be through the entire game, I mean, I know he did a couple of good things here and there, but he was off. And it seemed like in the third quarter, when normally we would be saying, just get back to what you do, move the ball, that's what you're best at. They didn't do that. Instead, what they did is what I think the reason they went out and got KD in the first place. Because without KD on that roster, if Clay has a game like this in the playoffs, they're done. But now they can turn to KD and say, we need, I mean, ideally, I think they did it for late shot clock situations, late game situations where you need someone to create. But in this case, they just needed somebody to provide a spark in any way possible. And it seemed like the offense they were running wasn't the Warriors' offense. It was, KD, can you please take charge? We need you now.
Right, which is something that we saw a decent amount throughout the regular season, and which wasn't a good thing. I think that's a big reason why they struggled in the fourth quarter of games, was because it was a lot of standing around and watching KD try to make something happen. And the reason they've been so good entering this game, the reason they won 23 of 24 entering this game, is because they weren't relying too much on one guy. They were, you know, moving the ball and doing what they like to do, getting open shots. And there were times, even when they were doing well tonight, when they got away from that a little bit, which is something to monitor going forward. And I do think that Clay continuing to struggle with his shot, it's starting to become more of a storyline, because he obviously wasn't great against Utah, and the way he shot tonight, it does raise the question of, is this just an aberration, or is this a real issue? So I guess we'll have to see how he responds in game two.
Connor, the team struggled for a majority of the game to rebound, and I'm wondering, I'm looking at McGee, he only got 5 minutes. Do you think that could lead to a possible rotation change? And were you shocked that he only got 5 minutes this afternoon?
I wasn't. I don't think that San Antonio is a great matchup for JaVale. Obviously, Utah was, Portland was a great matchup, and he did some nice things against Utah as well, but he historically isn't as great against the teams with the big front courts, which is why he was so good against Portland, because they didn't really have a front court. So he was just feasting inside. Obviously, San Antonio probably has, you know, one of, if not the best front court in the league. So he's not going to be as as much of an asset. I think Zaza did a really nice job tonight defensively on LaMarcus. Obviously, LaMarcus still had a good game, but Zaza did a nice job staying in front of him and doing a lot of the little things, setting screens, getting the offense going. So I know Mike was so happy with what Zaza was doing. They didn't feel the need to play the other guys as much. Personally, I just don't think JaVale is going to make as much of an impact just because of the matchup with San Antonio.
Couple more questions for Connor Letourneau of the San Francisco Chronicle. When you've seen this team so many times, we all have, and they have such a great firepower and ability to come back from these kind of things. When they were down 25 and I saw Matt Barnes come in, I thought, oh my gosh, this looks bad. Did you get to the point where you're like, I think this is over?
It was the same feeling I got watching Anderson Varejao get meaningful minutes in game 7 last year.
Right. I mean, the thing about this team is even when they were down 25, obviously I didn't think they were going to win the game, but I knew that they were going to have a run in them. I knew that they were going to make it somewhat of a compelling game. I knew that they'd get enough of a rally where it makes at least make things interesting, because unlike really any other team in the league, this team, no first half deficit is too big for them. This is a team that was down 22 at San Antonio in March and came back with no problems and won that game convincingly. And so I knew it was a possibility. Of course, I didn't expect it, but it's just further proof of what this team's capable of.
You know what? The other thing is, too, 19 turnovers. And we know, I mean, Herbs is talking about Game 7, the behind-the-back pass to E40 in Game 7, sitting courtside. That stuff still haunts me. And that was the one thing that Kerr always said, you know, is your team perfect? He said, we're far from perfect, and the turnovers eat him alive. Was it just, you know, I kind of thought that the Spurs were jumping the passing lanes, that they were inside the Warriors' head in the first half. Was it more the Warriors being careless or the Spurs just playing classic San Antonio defense?
I think it was a combination of factors, but to me it was more San Antonio than the Warriors. I think San Antonio is really good at, like you said, jumping the passing lane and frazzling them, and they know kind of how to get them off kilter. We saw the exact same thing in the season opener. And the Spurs know that to make this a series, they're going to have to do that. And they're going to have to not only do that, but attack the offensive boards and win the possession game, because you can't trade shots with a team like the Warriors. They're just too explosive. So I think that was something that was number one on their game plan entering this, and they executed it really well. But you have to give Mike Brown and the Warriors credit for adjusting as the game went on.
Hey, Connor, how closely have you looked at the postgame box score?
I've looked at it.
All right. If you don't know the answer to this, what would, just having watched that game, who would you say won the rebounding battle?
I didn't look at that. That,
but wouldn't you think, based on what you saw, like, well, the Spurs killed them on the boards, the offensive boards, it was a nightmare. The Warriors actually won the rebound battle 43-38. I'm shocked looking at that.
That's actually interesting. Yeah, I would have guessed the Spurs won it convincingly. There's been a few games like that this season where you think they won it, you know, where they lost it and then actually won that battle. It's kind of a nice, interesting little nuance.
Probably more glaring just because, I mean, it doesn't have the offensive boards numbers. I would imagine the Spurs killed them on offensive boards, because that's what we were talking about for most of the game.
Right, definitely. The offensive boards are going to be the key, not just the overall rebounding, but the offensive boards, just in terms of that possession battle.
That's Connor Letourneau. I know you're on a deadline. He's going to have his story. You can read it at sfgate.com or in tomorrow's, of course, San Francisco Chronicle. Follow him on Twitter at @con_cron, CHRON. Connor, as always, thanks for your time, especially on a busy day like this, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Connor.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, and lines are open, 888-957-9570. If you're on hold, we appreciate your patience. We'll get to you. And also, you can shoot us a text on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line at 957-95. We have the Guru, we have Michael Urban, and I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back at 95.7 The Game.
It's Michael Urban, Rick Tittle, and the Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you with us, 95.7 The Game. Rick Tittle with you alongside Michael Urban and the Guru. It is the, what'd you call it, the after party, Mike?
It's the after party show. Yes, my daughter, Natalie, she's very excited because it's not called that. I just named it that yesterday.
It sounds more fun.
It sounds young and hip and cool, and that's what we're supposed to be. So
yeah.
And my daughter, you know, finished the text to me with woo-woo.
So, nice.
Yeah, cute.
Whenever I write woo-hoo, it changes to woo-hop. Why can't who be in autocorrect? I don't know. All right, so the Warriors win a game that looked like they were not going to win, 113-111. I want to get to Draymond Green because it's very – you guys know this. It's very odd that we have gone 47 minutes into a show and we really haven't talked about Dre yet because mm-hmm. he's such a dominant force.
Day-day.
And he's so focal to everything that the Warriors do.
MVP of the playoffs so far for them.
Yeah, and, you know, 36 minutes. He only had 9 points, but that's, you know, listen, they're not looking for him. If he gets threes, that's just gravy on the cake. But you look at the 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, no blocks, but that's all right. You can't block a shot every game. The one thing that concerns me, Goo, is that there was a play with, I think Danny Green had a rebound, and Dre comes in and basically just kind of clubs him to the side and gets called for a foul. And Dre goes over, and he starts, why, what did I do? And I'm just like, you know what? When you know you do a foul, don't cry about it, or the officials are never going to give you a break.
Yeah, and that can go to 97% of the league. But for Draymond, again, I told you he's the heart and soul of this team. We know it's wrong. I believe his own teammates know it's wrong. But if it's how he gets himself going, fellas, I'm all for it, Herbs. It was a foul. He chopped him like the big grizzly bear. He's strong. But you got to know this is your teammate. This is your family member. You know he's going to go get in the ref's face. And I got to give the refs credit. I thought he was going to get his second yeah. technical. And the ref kind of looked Urban like, you know what? It's Draymond. I'm going to give you some leeway. And he went about his way.
Yeah, I mean, aside from the play where it was the obvious foul and he was complaining about it, which Dre does all the time, there was another play where Draymond made an awesome defensive play, basically forced, I think it was Green too, to dribble it off his leg or his foot out of bounds.
Great
okay,
play.
Ball going the Warriors' way. Everything's good. No, Dre's got to stand over him and taunt him and get teed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he exploded and started chasing the ref. That's the last time. You do not want to explode on a ref right after he's given you a tee. Just walk the other way. And that's why we love him. We will go through stretches where we hate him. It's like he's the brother that is always protecting you, always looking after you, but damn, he makes you mad sometimes. And that was one of the times where I'm like, oh, no, this is where things start to get squirrely. Thank God his teammates. And again, like Guru said, give the ref some credit for showing some restraint.
I thought it was
coming. I thought the tee was too quick to begin with. You know, I think they're going overboard with the taunting tees.
Well, let me ask you this.
I'm with you, Herbs.
I did a show
you.
With Guru the other night, and we disagreed, and I want to get the third perspective
Uh-oh.
Here. Game 5 in the series before against Houston, we know it ended in overtime in San Antonio with Ginobili with an amazingly athletic play. As Harden's pulling up for maybe the game-tying 3, Ginobili put a hand there, all ball, strips him, game over. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that happened, I said to the people I was watching with, that's a foul on Dre. Same all ball because of his rep. And because of his complaining, and even if it's subconscious, I'm not saying the refs are out to get him. They just see, oh, over the back. That's Draymond Green. He's over the back. Ginobili, clean rep. Oh, great play by Ginobili. Now, Guru said at the time that was such a clean play, they couldn't even call Dre on it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, Dre has built up this reputation where I thought, nah, they would go ahead just because, oh, it's Dre, it's probably a foul.
But I hear what you're saying, Rick, but I disagree to a certain extent because you look back at the season, and Draymond's made, what, at least 3 game-ending defensive plays
Schroeder,
that won the game on defense.
Yeah.
And at least 2 of those that I can remember were pretty visual swipes, right? So if you've got a guy who's got that type of reputation that you're talking about, and I'm not saying he doesn't have a rep with the refs,
mm-hmm.
but I think he also, they respect his defensive ability so much that he actually gets away with quite a few of those swipes. And they don't assume that it's a foul, and they're not going to stick it to him because it's Draymond, because he has made some very demonstrative swipes at the ball, did get all ball, and they didn't call a foul.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually, as it was happening, I was surprised because I thought, wow, that's normally a foul.
I think
Draymond.
The refs are 50-50. They think like you, and I think some of them think like me. Let's go to the phone lines. Rick is in San Francisco. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had to get off the speakerphone.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of agree with when we were talking earlier with how Groove felt about the Warriors' performance. You know what I'm saying? I mean, as a team that, has won so many games and, they're on the championship pedigree, you don't come out flat, not against a team that has a pedigree like that. And they did. And to me, it's kind of simple. Once Kawhi, who's to me the probably MVP because he plays the whole game, once he goes out of the game and he doesn't, he helps on their defense and he gets his own shot, they don't really have a chance against the Warriors' talent. You know what I'm saying? And pretty talent got us to the 2-point win, but that doesn't always get the playoff win. You know what I'm saying? That could be that could have kind of spurned the Spurs to go, hey, you know what? We can beat these guys at this full squad. They had to come back on us.
Yeah, no,
you know what I'm saying?
No doubt about it, Rick. Thanks for the call. I want to get up to Goo, your response.
No, he's right. And, I got to slow down because I keep fast-forwarding this series. I disrespected the Spurs. They got some of that back today. But my point is you're at home. You had a week off. You are talking about going – the players aren't 16-0. I mean, that's how people in the basketball world are looking at the Golden State Warriors. And to come out and be down 25 points – to me, that's a flaw, and that's something that needs to be fixed. And I know Clay didn't have his best game, Herbs, and that's why I took solace in the fact that KD and Steph were there, and they were fantastic. And that's all you can ask for when you have a big three, because it would be unrealistic to think all three are going to click at the same time.
And this is exactly the reason, and I said this earlier, but this is exactly the reason they picked up KD, because the last two seasons without – they went to the NBA Finals. They won one, they lost one, but they had three All-Stars still. They had, Green, Thompson, and Curry. Now, today they've got four All-Stars, which means they can survive a Western Conference Finals game in which Draymond Green, who granted isn't known as a scorer, but in this playoffs he's been something of a scorer for him. Draymond Green and Klay Thompson combined for 15 points tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But because you got KD... Curry and KD combined for 77. You take KD out of that, obviously someone's going to pick up some of that slack, but it's four All-Stars versus three, and everything that you struggled with when one of your big three had a problem, it's not a problem anymore. It's almost a game like this makes me realize why the rest of the country hates the Warriors, because the Warriors can have two All-Stars play poorly. That was the worst half of basketball I've seen Draymond play in a long time, the first half.
Do we give the Spurs any credit, though, Herb?
Sure we do.
Okay.
Sure we do. You got to respect the Spurs, and you have to expect them to make this series competitive no matter who they have. But I can now see the rest of the country going, that's just not fair. Klay was bad. Draymond wasn't very good. And they still came back from down 25.
PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795 from the 650. The offensive rebounds that San Antonio were able to accumulate scared me throughout the course of the game. Yeah, it scared all of us right until the end. Let's get back to the phone lines at 888-957-9570. And we'll go to the Garden State with Mitch. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Yeah, you too.
What's up, Mitch?
Yeah, we missed that. Yeah, happy Mother's Day to my mom, all the moms out there, yes.
Definitely, God bless them. That was a game that with San Antonio kind of reminded me of Boston coming back down 3-0 to the Yankees.
Dave Roberts steal.
Uh-huh. Managing my Dodgers. But Draymond Green almost had a triple-double, though, but it wasn't one of his good games, and I see him, he's losing his temper. And one more thing, David Lee, I'm glad he's still playing. I wonder if the Warriors still be good if they kept David Lee instead of Mr. Delgacy Bogut.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Yeah, I mean, David Lee came off the bench and gave him seven boards. He was a plus 15. He was not useless, I'll tell you that. Let's stay on the phone with Greg in San Jose.
But I'm sorry, Greg, before you get started, are we going to go ahead and allow Mitch saying he almost got a triple when it was 9-7-7? I don't know. That's not really
He's rounding up.
If I got a 9-7-7, I would brag that now that's me.
Well, sure.
I would brag that I almost got a triple double.
You're a 45-year-old man.
I'm 51.
Okay, you're 51.
You look good.
Wearing it well.
Yeah.
Yeah, 52 next month.
Nice.
Damn, Rick.
Anyway, Greg, sorry to interrupt.
The AARP after party. Let's go to Greg. What's up, Greg?
doing? Real quick, I want to give a shout out to Livingston. That tip at the end was huge.
Yes. Oh, it was a rebound. Yes. It was a rebound and it was an assist. I love those.
He's. I mean, he was a godsend tonight today because with Iguodala out, he played some important minutes. The other couple things, I talked to your call screener. Why don't they do Curry and Durant in the pick and roll situation? I mean, that seems to be the most, from an offensive standpoint, pretty hard to stop. And I'm just wondering why they don't do that more.
They like to. Well, thank you for the call, by the way. That's a little bit antiquated for what Pop runs, and then of course that's what Kerr runs. They like to pass the ball around. They like to move it. Maybe I don't know. The death lineup is so small. You're not going to pick and roll in that lineup. Your thoughts, Mike?
Well, one of the things that I thought the Spurs did particularly well defensively in the first three quarters, and maybe they made some sort of adjustment, may even been when Kerr talked to them at halftime. But in defending the pick and roll, what a lot of teams do, and it's very subtle. It's a matter of maybe 6 to 12 inches, where when the Warriors, the person who's having the screen set for them, let's say it's Curry in this instance, when he rolls off the screen, a lot of teams, whether switching or not, the guy will jump out and try to play an angles game. And almost like in soccer, I'm speaking your language here, Rick, beat him to the spot by uses of angles. And that's what the Warriors have gotten so good at exploiting, whether it's cutting inside that little lane that's created by them trying to play the angles. Instead, what the Spurs did was as soon as they got past the screener, they made a 90-degree cut and didn't play the angle at all, just cut it off completely. And I thought that threw the Warriors' offense out of sorts. And they didn't make any sort of adjustment until early fourth.
All right, very nice. That is Michael Urban. We're also with the guru. I'm Rick Tittle. We have two more hours together. Danny LaRue at 6:30, of course, from Real GM Radio. And Kalena Azubuki, the former Warrior, will join us at 7:30. We have two more hours of the after party. Come on back on 95.7 The Game.